work every day and we trade our labor and our time and our energy for money. And we trade that money for things that we need and the things that we want, such as clothes, food, and shelter. But I'm sure many of us have made some poor trades in our life where we look back and wish that there was something we didn't give up. Maybe it was a family heirloom. Maybe you bought something you wish you hadn't. Maybe it was an old classic car you wish you could get back. But we all make trades. And some trades are better than others. Now, before I get to the passage I want to talk about, I'll set a little bit of the background. If you will turn with me to Genesis chapter 25, and we'll start at verse 21. Genesis 25, and we'll start at verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord answered him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it is so, why then am I this way?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body. And one people shall be stronger than the other. And the older shall serve the younger. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came forth red all over, like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came forth with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So the first thing that we notice is that Rebekah was barren. And when you're having difficulty having a child at any age, it can be a very heartbreaking thing, especially in that time. But Isaac was a righteous man, so he prayed to God. And God blessed Rebekah, and she conceived two fraternal twins. But she didn't have a smooth pregnancy. A pregnancy can be difficult no matter who you are. But she had an extra issue. The text says that the twins struggled within her. And the Hebrew word there, which I'm not going to pronounce, carries with it the idea of something being crushed or broken into pieces. And that's what she felt inside of her. So she inquired of the Lord. She says, "If I am pregnant, why does it have to be this way?" And God said that there are two nations struggling within you. And as we know from the Bible, these two nations, Israel and Edom, would always struggle together. They would always fight and they would always quarrel for almost another 2,000 years. And on the day of their delivery, Esau came out first and he was hairy like a garment. So they named him Esau. And Jacob came out next holding on to his heel. And that's how Jacob got his name. That's what Jacob means, one who grabs by the heel or the supplanter. And that would set up their entire relationship. Esau would always go out and Jacob would try to trip him up. Not only that, these two individuals, even as children, were very, very different. Esau was more of a macho man, more of a man's man. He liked to get his hands dirty. He liked to work in the field. He liked to go, and maybe he got that after his uncle, who was an archer, Ishmael. But Jacob was different. He was more of a peaceful man, a man who liked to stay home in the tent. But we know he could work hard because if you look in the next few chapters, he worked 14 years for the love of his life. But they were very different, and it did not help that their parents played favorites. Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. And now we get to the passage. Starting at verse 29. When Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please let me have a swallow of some of that red stuff there, for I am famished." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright. Esau said, behold, I am about to die. So what then use is this to me? And Jacob said, first swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose up and went out on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The scenario presents itself as Jacob, he's making something to eat. He's making lentil stew. And it says that Esau came in from the field. He could have been working all day, or he could have been on a hunting trip. And my dad, before he passed, was a big hunter. And there are a lot of luxuries to hunting nowadays. We have high-powered rifles that can take out anything in 500 yards. We have nice tree stands that sometimes have a heater, so you can sit all cozy, bundled up, waiting for something to go by. In Esau's day, you would have had to have more skill. You would have been an archer. It would have taken a lot of discipline. And maybe he actually hit something, and he was tracking something for several days and could not find it. For whatever reason, he comes into the tent, and he's exhausted, and he's worn out. And you and I both know food tastes so much better on an empty stomach. When you're worn out and you're tired, food is so much better. And so as he walks into the tent, the smell of the stew enters his nostrils, and he realizes how hungry he is. So he says to his brother, well, give me some of that there, for I am famished. And Jacob's a little hesitant. You know, maybe it's just a simple brotherly feud. You know, you make your own dinner. I've been working hard at this. You get whatever you want to get. Or maybe he's simply being selfish. But Jacob says, okay, I'll give this to you if you give me your birthright. Now, maybe he was joking at first. Sure, I'll give this to you. Just give me your birthright. Or maybe he's being cunning. Maybe he's serious. Now, when we think birthright, that's not a term we normally use. An equivalent to that would be an inheritance. An inheritance is something that you get when your parents pass away and you inherit all the wealth or whatever possessions they had. Now, let's remember Esau's grandfather, Abraham. Read with me Genesis 13:2. Genesis 13:2. And Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver and gold. Read with me Genesis 24:35. Genesis 24:35. The Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he has become rich and given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. Now, we don't typically think of Abraham in that way, but Abraham was a wealthy Middle Eastern sheik. He traveled with a huge caravan full of all sorts of good things like silver and gold and servants. He had all of that. And if Genesis is going in chronological order, Abraham is now dead. So that means all of that would go to Isaac. And Esau is the firstborn son. He gets a double portion of the inheritance, which means 70% of Abraham's wealth would go to Esau because he's the firstborn son. And so Jacob says, well, give me your birthright. None of us would give up our inheritance for lunch or dinner. It's something that's very valuable and extremely valuable in Esau's case. But he says, well, what then is it to me? I'm about to die. And he forfeits his birthright. And he takes the stew and he eats it and he goes on his way. And it says that he despised his birthright. He held it in contempt. And this is a passage that I've struggled with a long time. And I know you're saying, Connor, why would you struggle with such a simple passage? At preaching school, a lot of the other students struggle with who's the man of lawlessness or what does revelation mean? I'm struggling with this passage because it doesn't make any sense to me. Why would someone give up so much for so little? Esau was thinking with his stomach, not his brain. And he gave up so much. And then it hit me that I haven't always been as different than Esau. There have been times in my life where I saw something that I wanted. And I didn't think about how that decision would affect my relationship with God. I didn't think how that decision would affect my relationship with other people. I didn't think about how that decision would maybe hurt other people. I didn't think about how that decision would affect my future. And I didn't think about how that decision would affect my eternity. And in a moment, I took what I wanted. I'm sure if you're human, you have made similar mistakes. Where in a single moment, you thought with your desires, with what you wanted, and you did not consider what you were giving up. I think we have all been like Esau at one point in our lives or the other. And there's science to back this up. I'm not going to pretend to be a scientist, but our brains are constantly making decisions between long-term decisions and short-term decisions. For example, as we talked about in class, you know, you might have the option to eat a salad or a candy bar. The salad has some long-term benefits, but that candy bar would make you really happy right now. Sin is not much different. Sin satisfies us for the moment. And it causes us to sacrifice our eternity. The world is not much different. That's how the world lives. The world lives for the moment, the here and now. It does not think about tomorrow or the next day. It's about right now. And in doing so, it sacrifices so much. Think about David and Bathsheba. David had so much. He had a wonderful kingdom protected by God. He had a powerful military. He had a giant family, and he had a palace in Jerusalem that oversaw the whole city. And as he walked out on his balcony one day, he saw Bathsheba bathing on a rooftop, which was the common place to bathe. And in a moment, he saw what he wanted, and he did not think about how that decision would affect everyone else. He did not think of the consequences that were to come. And in a moment, he thought with his desires, and he took what he wanted. And from that, it cost the death of Uriah the Hittite. Eventually, it cost the death of his child he would have with Bathsheba. Eventually, it would cost the life of his son Ammon. Eventually, it would cost the life of his son Absalom. And that chain reaction all started with his sin. If only he had realized what he was giving up. Brethren, we can be tempted to do the same. When we are tempted to choose sin over our God, let us remember what we have right now. Paul says that we have all the heavenly blessings in the heavenly places. We as Christians are reconciled to God. We are no longer counted as enemies, but children, and as children, heirs of the promise, heirs of eternal life. Not only that, we have a God who works in our lives today. And as Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, all things work for good for those who love God. And God makes it so. When we are tempted to sin, when we are tempted to live for the present, to live for the here and now, let us remember what we have with God. And let us remember what we will have one day as well. Let us remember our inheritance, the home that Jesus himself is preparing for us. Brethren, if there is anyone here today who is simply living for ourselves, who is living for the here and now, let us not live that way any longer. Let us make that right. If you have not yet put Christ on in baptism, or if you have put Christ on in baptism and you have fallen short of the glory of God, let us no longer live that way. Let us make that right now. Or if you are simply in need of prayers of encouragement, if there's anything at all we can do for you, please come to the front pews and you will be waited on as we stand and sing.